the Girl Crush Podcast.
Some theme music.
We'll be your Sandra Bullock source.
I love the range of movies that she's in.
Her eyebrows, they're amazing.
She has very striking features.
Fast male co-star.
Quirky little personality.
She's got real tears at multiple parts in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Key Sandra Bullock physical comedy.
Powerful woman.
I mean, she's the boss of the whole movie.
I'm just all in. Rom-com.
Brilliant. Smart.
5 out of 5.
Hello and welcome to the Girl Crush Podcast. I'm Anne.
And I'm Allie.
We're obsessed with Sandra Bullock, so this season we're watching all of her movies and ranking them. If you want to give us your own thoughts, be sure to connect with us on Instagram at girlcrush_pod. And as always, be sure to rate and review.
On today's episode, we'll be talking about While You Were Sleeping. This movie was released in 1995, and it's available to stream on Disney+.
Worth the Disney Plus subscription alone.
Seriously, pay for 1 month and that's, I mean, watch it all month. Okay. Sandra Bullock plays a character named Lucy, and as your brief plot summary, lonely transit worker Lucy saves her stranger crush from an oncoming train, and after one thing leads to another, his family mistakenly believes that she's his fiance.
So right now is where we will tell you to pause and go watch this movie. This movie is a classic, so if you haven't seen it, we highly advise that you check this one out. Otherwise, this is your spoiler alert.
Today's episode is brought to you by Wander & Ivy, a certified woman-owned business that sells premium single-serve organic wines. Each beautiful reusable glass is a perfect 6.3-ounce pour. Check them out online at wanderandivy.com or on Instagram at wanderandivy. You can use code GIRLCRUSH for 15% off and free shipping, which is an amazing deal. We highly recommend.
We certainly do. Jumping into the plot of While You Were Sleeping, if you're new with us, we rate every movie on 5 categories. Plot, Sandra Bullock's character, Sandra Bullock's acting, a bonus category for Boss Babe, and whether we would watch the movie again. Plot is rated out of 10 points, and our overall rating for While You Were Sleeping, we gave it a 9.25.
Super strong.
Yes. This movie opens so strong with one of my favorite wedding songs by Natalie Cole, This Will Be. It's panning over the Chicago skyline, so you know right away, we love this whole movie end to end. Lucy, played by Sandra Bullock, is a CTA worker, which is Chicago Transit Authority, and she notices this man who rides the train daily, and she calls him her Prince Charming and fantasizes about meeting him.
I will say, too, you kind of do end up seeing the same people on the CTA. Like, if you take the same route to work every day and your commute is the same, you kind of end up seeing the same people, at least pre-COVID. So I totally understand how this could happen.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, her CTA crush is played by Chief Dodds from Law & Order SVU. So another reason to love this movie.
Allie's all in. The next day, Lucy's boss tells her, while they're getting hot dogs, that he would name her Employee of the Month if she works on Christmas. But she really puts her foot down, tries to stand her ground, and says she will not work on Christmas. But you kind of get this feeling that she doesn't really have any plans anyway. However, during the scene, they are getting Chicago hot dogs. And that's all I can think about watching this because I love Chicago hot dogs and they just don't exist in Denver. And it's so upsetting.
It's so sad. I need to find someplace that can just ship you Chicago-style dogs that you can heat up. With all the toppings.
Yes. When Allie and I were together last month, I was like, the one thing I want is a Chicago hot dog. And so we made a point to get them.
What place do you miss the most for your like Chicago style dog go-to?
I mean, Portillo's is probably the most accessible and well-known.
Yes.
I did always like Wiener Circle when I lived downtown. So that was always a good one as well.
Yes. We have a lot of Chicago people who listen, so we'll have to ask them what their favorite place to get a Chicago hot dog is.
Yes. Oh my God, they're so good. It's just not the same. Like, it's just not the same. We used to go to Wrigley Field for a baseball game just to get hot dogs.
That's incredible.
We were like, yeah, let's go to a baseball game. I want a hot dog.
Highly respect it.
Yes. The hot dogs here at baseball games, they're just meh. Anyway, so Lucy's CTA rider crush wishes her a Merry Christmas through the window. She's like ticketing people and she's kind of kicking herself for not saying something to him like, oh, you have a nice coat. Merry Christmas. I love you. Will you marry me? And it's just this really good glimpse of classic Sandra Bullock kind of comedy.
Yes, it's so good.
And all of a sudden, she sees some guys push her crush off the platform onto the tracks. And he hits his head. She runs to him, but she can't wake him up. And she rolls him off the tracks right before an express train runs him over.
Ah!
So scary.
Terrifying.
So Lucy follows him to the hospital, she isn't allowed to go in after him or with him because she's not family. And she mutters that she was going to marry him. And this nurse overhears and assumes that she's his fiance. So she lets her in.
What a dream.
Right? She's like, oh, okay.
Yeah. Can you imagine?
No. She's just like immediately in this lie. Also, because this is shot in Chicago, it's kind of amazing the actual places that they used. Like, so much of what they filmed on was not a set. Like, they actually filmed a lot of these scenes in Northwestern Hospital. They actually filmed a lot of scenes on the CTA platforms. Like, they shut down platforms every weekend to film. So that's kind of amazing.
Yeah, that's so awesome. You know, for the lake house, we did like an Instagram little adventure where I went and showed people the different places that were in the movie. So maybe I'll do the same thing for this one.
Ooh, that'd be fun. So CTA crush, his real family comes in. They're loud. They're rambunctious. Lucy tells them what happened and the family asks who she is. And this nosy nurse butts in and's like, oh, this is his fiance. And his family obviously freaks out. Lucy's unable to get a word in to explain. And once they hear that she saved his life, they're basically like, no questions asked. They love her.
Yeah, just they're all in.
So Lucy comes clean with the nurse, who thinks she's an idiot for talking to herself about marrying someone she's never met, which, fair. But Lucy just doesn't seem to see, like, a way out of the situation, and now she's kind of stuck with this stranger's family in the waiting room. And the family, once again, doesn't let her say pretty much anything, and they all kind of just, like, fabricate the story of how Lucy and the stranger met. So they're kind of just, like, making the story up for her.
Yes. I also love that once the nurse finds out that she's not really his fiance, that she just still lets her stay. She doesn't ruin it.
Right. At this point, I feel like a normal response would be to just disappear and avoid the hospital and surrounding area at all cost. However, Lucy returns to the hospital in the middle of the night, like a kind of weirdo, and she introduces herself to this comatose man, and we learn that his name is Peter. And she apologizes for the situation. She pretty much describes her lonely life, said she's never really had anyone that she could laugh with.
Aww, so sad. Although I will say one relatable thing she says during this scene that I think probably all of us have thought at some point, though granted, I probably thought this in high school. She's like, if they just knew me, I know that they would dump their model girlfriend and decide that I'm the one that they want to grow old with.
Oh, yeah. She's very, I don't know, she's kind of down on herself.
Yeah, and it's like kind of a schoolgirl crush.
Yeah, like the popular, cute, comatose guy. Okay. Peter's family invites Lucy over for Christmas, and one of his coworkers shows up as well. And it's really weighing on Lucy's conscience that she's lying to his family, but she feels like if she tells the truth, then the grandma will have a heart attack and die, which is like proposal vibes, right?
Yes.
So Lucy goes to the family's home for the Christmas celebration. She bonds with Peter's godfather, and she confides in him that her own parents have passed away. And this family has this really loud and loving Christmas party. And Lucy's just like in the middle of all their pictures, and the family bought her Christmas presents. They've really just embraced her without question. And based on the conversation with Peter's godfather, you just know she's never really experienced family like this, which is really sweet to watch her kind of take it all in.
Yes, it's so sad.
They even got her a stocking.
Okay. Stockings were a huge deal for us as we started to like expand our family. Like, it was a huge deal when Kale got a stocking at our family Christmas with his name on it.
Yeah, they're a big deal in our family too.
Yes, that's like, you know, you're in if you get a stocking.
Yes. Also of note, the grandma, or maybe it's Peter's mom, is the mom from the original Mary Poppins. So random cameo.
Love that.
We hear a voicemail on Peter's machine from a woman who had been mentioned previously. Her name is Ashley, and she says on the message, I've been doing a lot of thinking, and what the hey, I will marry you. Which is, like, kind of a weird voicemail to leave.
No, what? Just, like, a delayed response via voicemail?
Right.
Who is this Ashley? No, I'm not here for this.
The classic two business day response. So Peter's brother, Jack, comes home, and he seems to be the only one who's, like, suspicious of Lucy. Mm-hmm. And he talks with the family about how it's strange they didn't know he was engaged. And Jack asks a lot of questions about Lucy to his family, and he's still kind of full of suspicion, even though they're kind of writing it off or giving excuses. Lucy goes to Peter's apartment after she finds a can of cat food in his things. Why was he carrying a can of cat food? We don't know. And she worries that his cat is hungry. And Peter's apartment is super nice. It's very modern and expensive looking.
Oh, yeah. You can tell he's wealthy.
Yes. And Jack also shows up at Peter's apartment and tells Lucy that Peter doesn't even have a cat. But then in wanders a cat named Fluffy. And the look on Jack's face is like, okay, maybe I don't know everything about my brother after all. And the phone rings and the calls for Lucy from the hospital to come give blood. So it's kind of these like just two little things that give her credibility, I guess.
Right.
So Jack and Lucy go to give blood and he's like interrogating her about her relationship with his brother. And in order to prove that she really is his fiance, she says that Peter only has one testicle, which she learned from the coworker who is at the hospital, and the family checks and it's true.
This scene is so funny.
Yes, it's hilarious.
Oh, poor comatose guy.
So Peter's godfather tells Lucy that the night she confessed everything to comatose Peter, he was outside the door and knows everything. And he kind of encourages her to not tell the family because having her is like having Peter and they need her.
Oh, it's so sweet, but also kind of insane.
Yes, and this kind of gives me the grandpa vibes from The Parent Trap. So we're just doing a lot of movie crossovers here.
Oh, I love it.
So Jack shows up to Lucy's apartment with an engagement present from his parents, and she accompanies him back to Peter's apartment. And Jack's truck gets blocked in, so he offers to walk Lucy home, which in reality makes no sense because Chicago geography, Peter lives in the Loop and Lucy lives in Logan Square, which is not walking distance.
But no, it's fine. We will show you the map on Instagram. It would be a very long walk. Yeah. He would get her a cab in real life or an Uber, let's be real.
But they bond during their walk, and Lucy gets to be kind of her genuine self, talking about her life and her family. And they get back to her place, and the sidewalk is covered in ice, and they're helping each other stand up, and it's almost like they're about to kiss. Like, you can feel this chemistry between them.
Yes, things are definitely starting to build between the two of them.
Yeah. So Lucy confides in her boss that she likes Jack, and she says, "I'm having an affair."
On her fake boyfriend. I love it.
Yeah. And we also see Jack in Peter's hospital room, and he's playing cards with his comatose brother, and he talks about how he's never been envious of him until now. Ah. So Jack has the feels for Lucy as well. At a family dinner, Jack and Lucy, they're just kind of like making eyes at each other, and as she's leaving, she and Jack are under the mistletoe, and the whole family makes them kiss, which is super weird.
No, this is not okay. Like, there is...
Kiss your brother's fiance.
No. There is no circumstance ever in which kissing your significant other's sibling is okay.
Never. And I think it's even worse that he's in a coma.
Absolutely. I would be so upset if I were him. It's so bizarre. But honestly, this movie is so good, you don't even care. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's weird. So Peter's younger sister comes through Lucy's like toll booth to get on the train. And Lucy's coworker hears that she is marrying Peter. And she's like shook because she hasn't heard anything about it. And she and Lucy are supposedly friends. And she's like, "Are you pregnant?" And Lucy jokingly says yes, which then the sister overhears as she's walking away. Oops. And the sister tells the whole family that Lucy is pregnant.
Who does that? Come on.
Oh boy, this family. What a tangled web.
Truly.
Jack shows up to Lucy's apartment again, sees that she's going to a New Year's Eve party, and he offers to drive her. And he's acting like really weird, made worse by the fact that her friend introduces Jack as Lucy's fiance, like misunderstanding who he is.
Right.
And her boss is there and kind of hilariously tries to untangle all the people in her story because obviously it's starting to not make sense. And Jack tells Lucy she shouldn't drink spiked punch because it's not good for the baby. And Lucy just bolts. She's out of there.
Oh, it's just a mess.
Jack at this point is just like kind of word vomiting. He's really jealous. He tells Lucy she's not really Peter's type. And they kind of argue, point out flaws in the other. And it's a lover spat, if you will. Which we've used twice now because of Schmigadoon.
Yes.
Peter, our coma man, wakes up on New Year's Eve. He is kind of slowly panning the room. He's taking in who all's there. And he finally gets to Lucy and he does this double take. And he's like, "Who are you?" And the family just automatically assumes that he has amnesia. And they're trying to help Peter remember that he's engaged. He's clearly very confused. And the godfather keeps saying he'll handle it. He'll tell the family everything. So Lucy tries to come clean, but the family cuts her off and just say that they know she wasn't ever pregnant. So they're still assuming that she's engaged. And Right. Yeah, so still lots of misunderstandings. Jack drives Lucy home and she tells him that things are going to change, though probably not how he's imagining. And he apologizes about what he said about her and hopes that she and Peter will be very happy.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, Peter is like recalling everything except about Lucy. He knows nothing about her.
Yeah, he's like, how is this possible? I remember everything else.
Right. But also of note, like, he doesn't bring up Ashley either, and supposedly he asked her to marry him in real life. So, you know.
Yeah, what?
She can't be that important.
Right.
Saul, the godfather, attempts to tell Peter the truth, but he kind of panics himself and tells him that Lucy is not only his fiancée, but also his guardian angel, and tells Peter to stare into Lucy's eyes, and if he is not in love with her after that, they can break up. So he's like, I guess, kind of giving him a way out.
Right.
Without totally ruining
everything.
Yeah. Lucy brings Peter his belongings that he came into the hospital with, and she tells him which of his outfits she likes best. And she brings up, like, multiple clues that she's only ever actually seen him on the train because of how she's referencing his outfits.
Yes.
We also hear another voicemail from Ashley saying she was back in Chicago and she would like to see her cat.
Ah.
So, Ashley arrives to Peter's apartment.
Okay, side note, I have to say, clearly he and Ashley are not actually that close because he's been in a coma for like 2 weeks and he allegedly proposed to her and she just didn't know he was in this coma or didn't care that she hadn't heard from him in a couple of weeks. Like, what is happening?
The family didn't know anything about her to like alert her.
Right, right.
Yeah. So Ashley accuses Peter of cheating on her, but Peter says that Ashley said no to his proposal. They broke up and she moved to Portugal. So ooh. I guess that's where she's been.
Yeah.
She's upset. She's kind of cruel to someone who just came out of a coma.
Right.
And Peter apparently has been convinced of his relationship with Lucy. He reproposes to her by saying, my family loves you. I might as well love you, which is just what every woman really wants to hear. And we see the nurse, who actually knows the truth, faint in the hallway.
Honestly, I would do the same thing. I'm surprised Lucy didn't also faint.
Like, how on earth did this actually work out?
Right.
Jack shows up to Lucy's apartment again. She has this wedding dress draped over her. So we kind of, like, get the sense that she said yes. And Jack gifts her this snow globe of Florence because she said that she's always wanted to go to Italy.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells her that Peter's a lucky guy. So we get the sense maybe he's kind of conceding, but he'll always, you know, love her.
Mm-hmm.
Lucy chases after him, though, as he leaves, and she says, can you give me any reason that I shouldn't marry your brother? And he says he can't. And you're like, oh, Jack, come on.
Come on.
Also, like, why did she say yes to Peter again? You had another opportunity to say no.
Right, I know.
Ugh. Or had your first opportunity to say no. You never said yes in the first place, but
true.
You know. Lucy hands a wedding invitation to her boss for the wedding that is tomorrow, question mark?
Yeah, what?
And he says she's crazy, and we're like, yeah, agreed, because why are you rushing this like that?
Right.
And she's like, you know, this rich and handsome man asked me to marry him. I'm tired of being alone, so I said yes. And her boss asks what happened to Jack, and Lucy says he didn't want her, which is heartbreaking.
It's really sad that, like, her whole reasoning for saying yes to him in the first place is just because she doesn't want to be alone. And I'm sure it's because she kind of fell in love with his family, too. Like, mm-hmm. It's so sad.
Yeah. So Lucy starts walking down the aisle, and her outfit's a little questionable for a wedding outfit,
yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, looking a little like a schlub.
She's wearing this coat. She takes it off. It's not much better. I'm like, why did you guys do her like this? Come on, costumers.
Yeah, seriously.
I mean, like, she looks...
I get that it's a quick wedding, but come on. You're in Chicago. You could have found something off the rack a little better.
Right. And Peter is very wealthy, so, like, you think that they could get her a real wedding dress. And side note, Peter also looks really kind of unkempt because his collar is, like, all funky. His arm's in a sling. Like, it's just... Why are we rushing this? Get a real dress.
Yeah, come on.
Recover from your coma injuries and then get married.
Yeah.
So as the officiant starts the ceremony, Lucy says that she objects. And Jack says he objects too.
Ah!
And the family's like, what? Lucy says she's in love with their son. Not Peter, but Jack. And she kind of comes clean about the whole thing. Even Jack is shocked. And she said that she didn't want to tell the truth because she fell in love with the whole family.
Ah.
After this, a couple minutes too late, Ashley runs in, also objects, and a rando man comes in, and we find out that Ashley's actually married. I don't feel like this added anything to the plot.
No, it just made it, like, more ridiculous.
More chaotic, yeah.
Yeah.
Lucy quietly sneaks out, she goes home, and she's kind of taking down her Christmas tree, which at this point, when is it? Like, the end of January?
It's got to be mid-January or, yeah, maybe the end. I don't know exactly how fast everything went, but it was very fast.
How long do you keep your Christmas decor up?
I usually take it up right around New Year's, depending on our travel.
Yeah.
But I really don't want it up after New Year's. What about you?
I might leave it up a little bit after New Year's, but probably not too much longer.
Literally, our neighbor, we can see one of their windows outside, and I have a picture on my phone from when they kept their Christmas tree up with the lights on until June.
Oh, no.
This was pre-COVID, by the way.
That's too long.
Way too long.
I always get sad taking it down because I hate January so much.
Yeah. So you like to prolong it a little.
Yeah. But it is just kind of sad afterwards when there's, like, nothing under the tree and it's over.
Yeah, you know? That's true. I'm sort of just, like, ready to be like, okay, I need to get my house put back together.
Yeah, fair. We have an HOA now, and the rules say that you cannot keep up decorations, like, outside more than 14 days past the holiday, which I kind of appreciate because that will keep me on track. And also, I just, like, I can't stand people who, like, leave up their Christmas lights all year.
No. No, me neither. 2 weeks is reasonable. That feels good.
I think so. Yeah, I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Lucy's at work and people are dropping their tokens in to ride the train. And all of a sudden, an engagement ring falls into the window. She looks up and it's not only Jack, but the entire family, except for Peter. I love it.
I love it.
Jack comes into the booth. He proposes to her. They say they love each other for the first time and kiss, also for the first time. And this is great, but it's still been like, you know, 2 or 3 weeks.
But again, you don't care. It's like the little...
You don't care.
It's like the little romantic inside of you gets all giddy, if you can't tell from my voice.
So true. The movie ends with Lucy and Jack getting married, and Lucy says that Jack took her to Florence for their honeymoon. The end.
I love this movie so much. It is.
I do too. It's such a classic.
Yes.
Yes. Would you categorize this more as a like Christmas or holiday movie or as a rom-com or romantic movie?
I would call it a rom-com, but I would say it has a holiday feel with all of the family touch to it. So it's definitely not. To me, I wouldn't just watch this at Christmas time. I could watch it anytime, but I would have an extra excuse to watch it around Christmas, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I would definitely put this in the same camp as like The Holiday and Love Actually.
Ooh, okay, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I think of those even a little more as Christmassy, but I could get there. Yeah.
Yeah, okay. This plot is definitely crazy. Not super believable.
No.
But it's nuts enough that you actually enjoy it.
And I think they know they're being a little bit ridiculous with it. Like, by the time they get to so many people objecting in the wedding and the fact that Ashley is actually married, like, I think the fact that they took it those extra steps makes you believe that, like, okay, they know they're not taking themselves too seriously. So you can kind of just laugh at it.
Yeah. And interestingly, this was directed by the same director as Cool Runnings.
Oh.
This was a very different movie for him. So I think that's where a lot of the comedy comes from. But I like that there aren't any overdone comedic relief characters, which I think makes you appreciate the romantic part of the romantic comedy a little bit more. Because there's no, like, slapstick person who's just taking all the comedic
grief.
Yeah,
that's true.
You know?
Totally.
What else do you like about this movie?
I think we really see Sandra in her element here, which we can talk about later in our other categories. But I think she was, like, the perfect person for this role, and I think that she elevates this movie with her, I mean, her being so lovable, even though she's in this crazy situation. I just love the whole idea of the plot, and I feel like it's so relatable. Like, the first time I watched this movie as a younger girl, you can kind of see how someone could get caught up in all of those feelings, and you kind of fantasize about something like this happening to you, about this, like, guy that you don't even know that you're crushing on. So I feel like you can get in your feels of being, like, a high school girl with a major crush.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So for some reason, it has, like, a nostalgic feel.
Yeah, definitely. Did you know that Julia Roberts was originally offered the role of Lucy?
Really?
Yes.
Whoa.
And she turned it down, thankfully. But I could definitely see Julia Roberts in a role like this. Yes. I mean, she was flying pretty high after Pretty Woman, so I think it made sense for her to be in a movie like this, but I'm glad she turned it down. And Sandra Bullock was offered the part because either an executive or an executive producer who had produced Love Potion number 9 knew about her and thought that she had really proved herself in Love Potion number 9 and thought that she was ready for this movie.
I love that.
Like, this movie came out after Speed, so she already, like, had a boost up. So they knew, that's like, amazing. She had the acting chops and the name, but then, like, she could do more of the romantic comedy piece as well. And so she was actually the first person cast for the movie.
Oh, that's amazing. I love that. Also, this film was a big commercial success, and it grossed over $182 million worldwide.
I think it was made on a $17 million budget, so Whoa. They made a huge profit on this movie.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And as we said before, this was mostly shot in Chicago, which I especially love living here.
Mm-hmm.
It's always fun to see, you know, places I know pop up on the screen.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I think we just love that the plot does not end in maybe the typical rom-com way, that it's not her and Peter getting married, but that she does end up with the brother.
Yes.
We always love a good twist at the end.
Love it. Just for context, too, so we rated this plot a 9.25, and we also rated the plot of 2 Weeks' Notice a 9.25.
Mm. Similar vibes, I think.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Similar vibes for sure. I think that totally makes sense.
Yeah.
Speed outdid this movie on plot by 0.25 points.
Fair.
Yeah.
I think the only thing I don't like about this movie is that the timeline is just so fast for, like, Jack to come back and propose.
Oh, yeah.
Because once again, I'm like, why don't movies use, like, montage or time passing to their advantage?
Right.
You know, it doesn't have to be the next day. You're in control of this to make it somewhat believable, but whatever.
Or they don't have to get engaged. Like, they could just be together. But I know that that's not as exciting for a movie.
Right.
But honestly, I can get behind it because you kind of just have to suspend the realist side of you, you know?
Definitely. And I think that's easy to do with a movie like this where you're just, you're so nostalgic and happy.
Right.
This movie also reminds me or gives me the same feels as, like, those other classic 90s rom-coms, like You've Got Mail and Serendipity. And, you know, like, those are just those classic, like, rainy day.
Heartwarming. Yes.
Wrap yourself in a blanket and settle down.
Ah, so good.
Yeah. Love it.
So for Sandra Bullock's character of Lucy, we rated her 8 out of 10. I love this character. I think she's super relatable. She's low-key in a different way, I think, than other Sandra Bullock characters that are really quirky or are more eccentric in their characteristics. Mm-hmm. But I think she's just more low-key and relatable.
Right. She's not, like, super clumsy or have a weird laugh or a snort. They just kind of let this character stand on its own as this normal woman looking for love. And it does make it so relatable and just makes the plot very heartwarming and enjoyable.
Yes.
So it's nice that this is a movie where you still do get some of her comedy and you're always going to get some Sandra Bullock physical comedy, but it doesn't rely on that so heavily. And they just kind of, like, let her character be a normal person.
Totally. And I find her so endearing.
Oh, definitely.
Even though she's lying pretty much the whole movie.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, she feels bad about it. Like, she didn't purposely do this. She didn't purposely create this situation.
Right.
And she ultimately comes clean.
Yeah, she
but
does.
The fact that she does that throughout the whole thing and she's still so lovable just shows something about the character.
Yeah, definitely. And you have to love that this character's love story is not just with the brother and it's not just with the comatose man, but it's also with the whole family. And it's more than her looking for love, but she is really looking for, like, that family and that acceptance. And I think that story is really, maybe not totally unique, you know, a lot of movies tell that story, but it's told in such, like, a good way. And I think her character just really brings it home.
I love it. I literally have my hands over my heart because I'm just thinking about it. It's so sweet. And something kind of unique about this character too is in so many Sandra Bullock movies, she is very much defined by her career.
Mm-hmm.
And in this movie, she's just has, like, a regular job, and there's not actually that, like, when you go to describe her character, it's not like some other characters where there's super, super obvious traits or things that define her by, you know, what she does and stuff like that. It really is more about sort of her journey, which is cool. It's a unique take, I think.
Yeah. I think we do have to note her character's name is Lucy. This story takes place over a matter of weeks. And the fact that her character in 2 Weeks' Notice is also named Lucy, meant to be, fate, on purpose, conspiracy.
Yes. That is crazy because I literally, as we were going to the section, I was like, wait, I had to confirm that her name was Lucy and that I wasn't getting these confused because we also mentioned 2 weeks' notice as we were talking about the plot because we rated the plots the same. So, right. So there are a lot of similarities.
I was going to say when we were doing the plot, like, this also could have been called 2 weeks' notice because it really is over the course of 2 weeks. She's waiting for him to wake up from a coma and tell the truth.
Right. Totally. And as we were going through the plot, another movie of hers that kept coming to my head was The Proposal.
Yes.
Because we talked about it in the spot where you were saying, like, she didn't want to tell because she thought the grandma might have a heart attack. Like, literally, that's brought up in The Proposal as well.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of about, I mean, it's totally different in the sense of her job and why the lie came up for The Proposal. But the whole aspect of her kind of falling in love with a family, I feel like is sort of true in that movie, too.
Oh, it's totally true.
Yeah.
Was this just, I mean, obviously she's a totally different character in The Proposal.
Right.
Maybe we're just saying the same movie has been made a million times in one way or another. And we love them just the same.
We love them all. Every version of this movie.
Yeah.
I love it. I want it all. And they're all slightly different. So the fact that she can do that is amazing.
Right. I mean, I guess at the end of the day, most romantic comedies obviously are running within the same vein. And we keep coming back for more. I'm going to pay to see it again. True. I'm going to pay to rent it again. And I'm going to love it. I'm not mad about it. It's fine.
Absolutely. And we've talked about this before. We feel like that era is kind of behind us of these movies that hold this nostalgic, romantic place in our hearts that we want to keep coming back to.
Yes.
It's been a long time since we've gotten like a new movie that sort of like has the same role as some of these older movies that we've talked about. And this is one of them, I think.
Absolutely. I don't know if you want me to say this because it's maybe a teaser, but for our season 3 Girl Crush, we think we have found a more modern rom-com that we love.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, our first teaser for season 3.
First teaser. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yes, that's perfect. I love it.
We'll just leave it at that. So for Sandra Bullock's acting in this movie, we gave her an 8.5 out of 10, which for a 1995 early movie for her is really strong. Like, I think especially with the fact that she is playing like that normal person, right? Like her facial expressions are just so relatable. But you still get that Sandra Bullock, you know, when she's like awkward and uncomfortable, it's like really solid facials. And I love how she portrays her character falling in love with the family. Like when she's at the Christmas celebration and it's so chaotic and she's just kind of like sitting back and soaking it up. Like she looks so happy and comfortable. Like it's just like a dream for her.
Oh, yes. I love that part. Okay. The part that stood out to me is when she's telling everyone the truth at the wedding and her voice sounds like when your throat gets really tight because you're about to cry. That to me is like, oh, such good acting.
Oh, yeah. I wonder if that is, like, is she able to make herself cry and actually, like, get that throat welly feeling? Or is that truly, like, just vocal
pitch
changes?
Does she just, like, constrict her voice? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Ugh. These are the things I would love to know.
Right? She did receive a nomination for the Golden Globes for Best Performance by an Actress in a Motion Picture for Comedy or Musical. She didn't win. I think maybe the first time she actually won was for Blindside. So that's kind of fun that she went on like 15 years later to win.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Right.
I love that.
Yeah.
Another thing about her acting, kind of interesting. So obviously really high score. Looking at her movies in chronological order, this is the first time we rated her acting so highly.
Hmm.
Prior to this movie, like in her chronological time period, she had only gotten a 7.75 in Speed. So this is like the next highest.
And this movie came out like right after that, right? So
yes.
That's definitely like watching her grow rather quickly.
Yes, exactly. And all the other movies prior to that, not nearly as high of scores.
Yeah. I think we even would have rated her a little bit higher if she'd had a little bit of a wider acting range. Like the fact that she is rather even keeled the whole movie. I mean, this is a really good score for that.
Yeah, that's true.
But if she'd had like a more emotional breakdown, like I think maybe we would have gone even higher.
True, true. So for our next category, Boss Babe, this is our bonus where we rate it out of 2 points. And we rated Sandra Bullock's character here a Boss Babe of a 1.5 out of 2 points. So we wanted to give a little bit of credit here because obviously at the beginning of the movie, she does literally save his life by pretty much hoisting his body and rolling him off the tracks, which is pretty impressive.
Yeah, that's probably more difficult than we would give it credit for, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we have to give it a little bit.
Yeah.
The rest of the movie, it's not quite like other movies where she's like, you know, kicking butt the entire time. So we couldn't give it a full two.
Sure, sure. Also, I'm not sure where this fits in, but I've been thinking about this actually a lot over the past week. And Sandra Bullock's bang game is so strong.
It's very impressive.
She pulls off bangs better than anyone I know, or in this case, don't know. And in such a variety of ways, right? Like, they don't take up her whole forehead. They don't look stringy. But then she has her hair down. They just, like, blend into the side. It's very impressive.
It really is. She can pull off so many different hairstyles. And you're right, the bangs are a big one.
Yeah. I was actually going to text you the other day, and then I thought, contain yourself. She's a very busy lady this week. But I was going to ask you, do you think that we should, you know, put our heads together and come up with a definitive ranking of Sandra Bullock's bangs?
Oh, yes. Like, which style of bang, you mean?
Yes.
Yes, I love this. We could do like a something on Instagram to announce a winner.
Yeah, I mean, there's just so many looks.
Wow, there are so many. I mean, even some of those early 80s and 90s films, when she has those huge bangs that look like you could fit a whole pop can under it and it would just like slide in there.
Literally, how do you even do that?
I do not know.
Is it a pop can?
I mean, I have no idea. It's so impressive.
It really is. Okay. I'll spearhead this initiative.
Oh, please do. Honestly, everyone's going to love this. Let's give the people what they want.
Yeah. I mean, they don't know that they want it, but right. They want it.
They want it.
They're going to be invested in a way they don't understand why.
Yeah. And the number of times we've had to try to recreate bangs for our Sunday Style Spotlight, it's like so many.
You're so good at it. And I don't know.
Your latest for Speed was so good.
Thank you. That definitely was my best.
Oh, yeah.
But it's a challenge.
Yeah. If you're new with us at Girl Crush Podcast on our Instagram at girlcrush_pod, we do a thing that we call Sunday Style Spotlight every Sunday, or mostly every Sunday, where we recreate a hairstyle from one of Sandra Bullock's movies. And we also create a reel to show the behind the scenes of kind of our hair transformation. So if you haven't looked at that already, please do, because Sandra Bullock has a ton of hairstyles that we try to recreate. So we know we don't really do them justice, but we're paying a little tribute to Sandy.
Allie is the MVP of creating a fake bob. Like, you do so good. Honestly, I'm impressed by her amateur skills, I gotta say.
Thank you. I have just so much hair, like way too much hair. And so I can just hide a bunch of things within my other hair.
I think mine would be better if my hair were all one color. But like, because I highlight my hair, it just like... it creates too many zones and, you know, it doesn't blend as well. Yeah. Yours, though, is just, like, seamless.
Oh, because I can hide it all.
Yeah.
It's, like, the one bonus of having one color of dark hair.
Also, I just think you're better at it than me, but...
No. No. But thank you.
Anyway, yeah, go check those out because we put more time than we care to admit into them.
So and, true.
they're fun.
Oh, it's great.
Anyway, we digress. For a Would You Watch Again score for While You Were Sleeping, we give this usually a 1 or a 5. We give this a 5 out of 5. All in. Absolutely. This is an iconic, classic movie.
Ugh. I love this one. And actually talking about it so much tonight just makes me want to watch it again right now.
I know. I'm like contemplating going and turning this on.
Yeah, seriously.
As should you.
I do have to pack after this, so it's possible.
Ooh, this is a good like background. You've seen it enough times. It's a good just like background comfort movie.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, so before we recap our scores for this movie, we have a really, really exciting guest segment on today's podcast. We are so excited to have Carrie Francis on with us. Carrie played Sally in Knives Out, which is a part that was actually written specifically for her. But it's not just movies. She's multi-talented and has also sung on tracks for Sam Hollander, and she spent 2 years in Fiddler on the Roof on a Broadway tour. So Carrie, welcome. We're so glad you're here with us.
Hi. Thank you guys for having me. I'm so excited.
We are too.
Yes. And Carrie stumbled upon our Instagram because of her love for Sandra Bullock, a mutual love. So Carrie, like, tell us about your love for Sandra. What started it? How did you find us?
Yeah, totally. I think I found you guys from, there's a bunch of podcasts that follow me, and there was one, I believe it's called Rom-Com Gen.
Oh, yeah, we love them.
Yes.
I think that, yeah, I think that they, like, you guys collaborated on something and they shared your podcast, and I went over it and I saw that it was, the season is all Sandy B. And I was like, oh gosh, what is happening? This is so exciting. I also really like podcasts that are run by women, especially women that are actually friends and have a nice rapport. So yeah, I started listening and I think that's when I pitched myself to you. Like, have me on your show.
We were so excited. That's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah. So is Sandra Bullock like one of your favorite actresses?
Yeah, she's definitely one of my favorite actresses. I think even beyond that, I feel like, I joke a lot, but there's a lot of similarities. And if I could pick like a career path, obviously she's someone that I would pick. You know, like she started in off-Broadway theater and was going to classes in New York. I did the same thing. You know, she started producing really early in her career, like right after, pretty closely after like Speed, like in the late 90s, maybe, I want to say. She was producing. And for a woman, especially in the 90s, to start her own production company and to start producing, it's like, gosh, that's just amazing. And I feel like, you know, she was doing theater and little parts and little things. And then she got some big blockbuster movie and the same thing happened here. And, you know, from there, it's like, I don't know, I feel like a kinship toward her career. If that makes sense.
That's amazing. I love that.
Yeah, I really like her a lot. And I feel like also as a person, she keeps so much of her personal life private. She keeps her kids' lives private. She's not on social. Like, those things for me are exactly in line with what I would hope to get to do if I'm ever lucky enough to have those problems, right? Of paparazzi and of keeping my children's faces private. Yeah. So I like the way that she lives her life an actress and as a human being. I just really admire her.
Yeah. She's such a wonderful, since we know personally, seems like such a wonderful person. Yeah. Like she does so much behind the scenes philanthropy and you do have to respect that she keeps her life pretty private. She is definitely like a career and family woman and, you know, she doesn't seem to care about the rest of it, which I think it's probably so easy to get caught up in that in Hollywood. And she just seems so focused on what she really wants and what's important to her. And so we definitely look up to her and that's part of the reason why we picked her for season two, because we just think so highly of her.
Yeah, it must be hard to choose, too, for you guys.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
Who do you talk about, you
totally
know?
Hard.
Yes. Yeah. We have to like someone enough to spend, like, hundreds of hours watching their movies and producing this podcast. So it's a big commitment.
Even the movies that no one maybe wants to watch, I haven't heard of even some of them that you guys have shared. And yeah, it's interesting too to just remember that that's something that you go through in your acting career and everyone's gone through, where there's movies that maybe she doesn't even want to remember that she's in. I don't know, maybe she's really proud of them.
Yeah.
Maybe she, you know, paid her dues, but yeah.
Ugh. No, it's so true. And that's one of the things that has been so fun to watch, because talking through all of her movies, you can really see how much she's flourished and how much hard work she's put in, you know, to get those little roles. And it's not like, I mean, I think most people think of Speed and think of her just like launching into stardom, but she was actually in so many movies before that, like putting in her time. So totally agree. Super inspirational.
Yeah. I think she even did, right, like opera, or her parents did opera. She did an opera when she was little.
Yes.
Something. And I even have that too. I studied opera starting at 11. So I just always look at her and I'm like, this is someone who, like, really, like you said, she didn't just do one big thing and then that was it. There's been a lot of ups and downs and little bit parts and big growth. And it's neat that she's actually still doing it. Mm-hmm. That's really saying something as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. Everyone starts somewhere. And like, we look back at her early films and sometimes years pass between movies. And it's like, you have to remember at the time for her, she didn't know what was ahead. And that could have been so discouraging and she could have stopped. But it really says something about, you know, stick to what you love and it'll pay dividends. And we're all lucky enough to witness it. So we're hoping that for you too, Carrie. We're getting in with you now.
Yeah, exactly. Friends. Get in early. Get in. No. Yes. And I know that feeling. And I definitely struggled a lot last year because it was like all of my dreams came true. Like my biggest childhood dream. I was literally living every dream that I've ever had from when the movie came out in November of 2019 into early March 2020. And then it was like, cool, hope you enjoyed that. Right. And I actually really had to like get some perspective and get over myself and recognize like, thank God I've experienced what it's like to live my dream, how lucky, how blessed I am to get to do that. Even if that's it, like if I were to never act again, or that was the end of my career, like I know what it feels like. And I always get to have those memories and those feelings. And looking at the year and a half we've all had, like if my quote unquote biggest loss was being able to continue that momentum, or I guess really have the picture in my head, the expectations that I had matched and met with, I had to get over that. I had to like give myself a kick in the butt a couple months in and be like, this is not a pity party. Like, let's have a pity party for the people that we really need to, you know, be thinking of and praying mm-hmm. for. And yeah, so there's definitely lulls in careers and it's hard to see it as you're going. There's even things now I can look back and think, thank God I did that.
Mm-hmm, right.
Thank God I did this little tiny commercial, or thank God, you know, like times I would think I was not doing well. But then looking back, I'm like, I was booking so much like work back to back to back, even if they were just commercials or they weren't union, right, or, you know, whatever. I listen to another podcast a lot, Dax Shepard's podcast, mm-hmm, the Armchair yes. Expert.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he'll talk about how like he did not book anything at all, not even a commercial, for 10 straight years. And that's given me a lot of perspective too. I didn't understand what other people were going through. So yeah.
Yeah. I'm sure it's hard to imagine that with anyone who's had like what we would call great commercial success or whatever. Looking back at the beginning of their career, I think almost everybody has gone through that. I'm sure it's really rare to just be thrust into, you know, stardom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. TikTok stars aside, but yeah.
We won't go down that path.
No. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Totally.
Well, it's so fun to crush on Sandy B with you.
Yeah.
So we already debriefed the plot of this movie and we rated it a 9.25 out of 10, which is one of the strongest scores that we've given. That's tied with 2 weeks' notice if you've seen that movie. So we rated those plots the same. But let's get into While You Were Sleeping. What did you think of the plot? Like, what are your favorite parts? What do you love about this movie?
Totally. I think that what I love the most about this movie is, one, it was filmed in the mid-90s. Mm. And I really love anything done in the 90s in a major city. I'm not sure why, but there's something about that element. I think the holidays mixed in.
Yeah.
Just something about before, you know, there's no cell phones. There's mm-hmm. no social media. We took this exact movie right now and made it today, someone would have filmed her jumping on the tracks and it would be on those like good Instagram accounts, you know, like right away. And
Upworthy.
Yeah. So I think, yes, 90s in a major city does something for me emotionally that nothing else does. I think I really love Chicago and I have a lot of happy memories there. And yes, shout out to living in Chicago.
Yes.
Again, like no cell phones, no social media. I don't want to say like sound like I'm 85, but a simpler time.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
right. And anything with like a really big ensemble cast and an enmeshed family, you know, it's like so unhealthy in real life to be in an enmeshed family, but it makes for such great characters and such great movies and TV shows. And I think there's just something so heartwarming about that whole family, not to mention the people playing them, like Peter Boyle. I love him so much. And I don't know if how to say her name, but Glynis Johns.
Yes.
She plays the Elsie, the mother. Yes.
Yep.
Oh my gosh. Some of her delivery is just so unbelievable. She's just talking.
Yes.
Like it's like there's nothing happening. So yeah, I think the family talking over each other, the way they interact, the ensemble scenes for me really do it. Like when they're in the church.
Yeah,
I love that scene so much.
Good. And it's impressive that they can have such an ensemble cast that doesn't get too confusing or where they're not kind of stepping all over each other. Like they executed it well.
Yes. Yeah, totally. Especially because it feels a little improv-y in some places. Yes. And it feels a little unplanned. Yeah, yeah. And chaotic. But in this, like, really great way.
Yeah. We're totally on the same page. I was telling Allie earlier, this gives me those, like, rainy day 90s movie vibes where you're watching this, you're watching You've Got Mail, Serendipity. Yeah. You're just, like, tucked in, loving it. It's just such a good, feel-good movie.
Yeah, totally, totally. And it's comforting. There's like a deep, comforting feeling. There's something about Lucy as a character that is so sweet and so simple and so unassuming, yet smart. I mean, she's not, you know, a ditz or anything, but there's just something so wholesome about her. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, you know, we see that so quickly that when she shows up with a Christmas gift for her landlord.
Yeah.
I just love that so much. There's like these little parts where her heart is so evident, and it makes sense with her backstory. Like if you lost both your parents, you're constantly looking for where do you belong, mm-hmm. and you create these like attachments in this family and her boss and her coworker, and you know, everyone is so precious to her. I love that so much.
Yeah, you can tell she really values the people around her.
Yeah.
And that's a great segue because as you know, we rate character as well. And for Lucy, we gave her an 8 out of 10. We also just find so much that we find so endearing about her.
Yes.
And I just, like, obviously the plot can be very unbelievable, but the way that her character just gets so swept up in the story and in the love of the family, and that the love of the family is really, like, the root of why she sticks with it, I think it's so interesting that it starts with this, like, you know, cute crush on this guy. But she sticks with it because she does find this family that she has been maybe searching for her whole life. Mm-hmm. And I think that's so sweet.
Yeah, definitely. And there's such a like a dichotomy there too, right? This bubbling over with love family, all these people, the multi-generations, the neighbor, everyone that's, you know, intermingling. And it's her and her cat.
Yeah.
You know, and so that comparison and just the way that those work together and against each other, I think are so great. And I feel like that's something that a lot of people, I know I certainly have experienced a season in my life where it was really like me and my dog Henry, you know, and really looking for more community and more people. And so I think there's something about that you watch this movie and it just fills up your heart. And I don't know, there's like a connective feeling in it.
Yeah, her character is relatable. I kept thinking that as I was watching this movie, and to your point, maybe at different seasons in our life or something like that. But I feel like a lot of different parts of her character are so relatable, like whether it's that crush on the guy who's never noticed you or, you know, the family aspect that you were talking about. There's just something about her that you feel connected to.
Yeah, totally.
So what about Sandra Bullock's acting in this? We rated this an 8.5, which is really strong, especially for it being, you know, mid-90s earlier on in her career.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts there?
So there's something about this acting for her that makes me feel like, again, I think the sweet, the simplistic, there's these really beautiful, almost like missable nuances if you're not paying attention. And it's just so well thought out, the whole thing. The little shifts in her eyes are amazing. But there's something about this character where I feel like this was maybe the closest to who she actually is for some reason, or like there's parts of her that come through in this that I don't see in, say, The Net or The Blind Side or, you know, a lot of other movies where she becomes more of a character actress, or, you know, the multi-characters happening in some of her. If I think about Miss Congeniality or something like that, there's so much performative and there's ups and downs. And with this, it's like she really stays pretty steady throughout the movie, which I think is a testament to her acting while simultaneously, like, I think that's her. I feel, or maybe
it feels natural.
Her.
Yeah. It feels natural.
I think so often she's, because of her physical comedy skills, she ends up, you know, being cast in these roles where she's almost playing like a caricature of, you know, someone in real life. And this movie, it does feel a little bit more raw and natural. And I think that's another thing that we love about going back and watching an actress's whole journey and portfolio is that you see not only this immense growth, because there's some rough starts in some cases, but more than that, like, we know where they end up, and being able to go back and watch these moments where you're like, we know right here that she has the skill because we've seen this 50 more times. And it's so fun to kind of see, like, you know, what people's real niche skills are, kind of getting glimpses mm-hmm. of those earlier in their career. Maybe not as strong, but like, you get a good look of what they're going to become, and you know that that talent is there. And that's just like so exciting to go back and watch, because at the time, obviously, they have no idea who they're going to become. And it's like, you had it from the beginning, kid.
Yes.
You know?
I love that. Yeah.
Yes, I love that too. That's so, yeah.
I'm curious too about your thoughts on this, because since you are an actress, to me, it seems like it would be a little bit harder to play a role maybe like this one, if it is a little closer to who she is actually, because to me, it feels like I would overthink it, or it wouldn't come across natural because I'm trying to put myself into another character that's not that different from me. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think it's easier or harder?
I think overall, at some point in every actor's career, you're basically being paid to be yourself, just maybe a little bit more one way or the other.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of, like, if we're comparing some of the more extreme, outgoing, outlandish roles, or even like the whip smart lawyer, the more specific roles, I agree with you. I think it's a little bit harder to be this kind of version of yourself that's really subtle and light.
Yeah.
And doesn't overdo anything. A lot of times I think the best actors on camera, at least, kind of look like they're not doing anything at all in the moment. And then you watch it and it's like an entire, like, different experience seeing it played back. And I think that's all that she's doing in this. Like, it probably looked like she was not doing anything on the set or in the filming. And then the way that the camera works and the editing and all that together, I feel like, yeah, I think it's probably harder to answer your question.
Yeah, awesome. I would think so as well. I wonder if, like, today, given the trajectory of her career and the other movies and things that she's been in, obviously many since this movie, I wonder if it would, I'm like, who is Sandra Bullock today? Like, has she changed a lot since then? Or if she redid this movie today, like, would it be a totally different view of her?
That's interesting.
That's so good.
Just like that transformation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be so interesting.
Yeah, it would be. It would be. Yeah, I don't know what she would do. I'm sure she's been a million different people in her life in the past 26 years.
Right.
Since this movie came out, which is crazy. Yeah. And I think especially like her theater background, it's a really different animal, you know, to turn that off and go from theater being so much and so big. And just a couple years later, here she is doing this really subtle, beautiful work. That kind of shows the abilities that she has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Oh, I love having that perspective. Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to also ask you this, because I asked Allie this. Do you consider this to be more of like a holiday time film or more of an anytime romantic comedy film?
Oh, I mean, listen, these are great questions. I think that initially it's a holiday film. I feel like it came out in the holiday season, right? Originally? Or no, did it come out in the spring? I have no idea.
I did see this. Let me look it up real fast.
This is why we edit, because we're constantly Googling while we record.
Oh, yeah.
We're like,
oh, it was the spring. It was April. April of 95.
Mm. Yes. Okay. So that's weird. That's like a really weird time to release a movie.
Yeah.
And it did so well. Yeah, I think originally it's a holiday movie. I do get the holiday feels when I watch this. And I love that it only takes place over a short amount of time, which I think is why it's another standout movie. But now at this point in my life, it's an anytime you need it, put it on. You know, it's in line with, you know, the Nora Ephrons and the other go-to movies. Say so Legally Blonde, perhaps, or 13 Going on 30.
Yes, you know? Yes.
Love those. So this is one you'll rewatch a lot.
I do, and I will, yes. I actually even own multiple DVDs of it, which I don't play DVDs, so I'm like...
just in case.
Yes. I guess one day I was really feeling like I needed to see this movie. It was a couple years ago, so it was before Disney Plus, and I couldn't find it on anything, and I saw, like, oh, I could get Amazon could drop it at my door tomorrow morning for like $4 or something. And so I ordered a copy, and then I went downstairs and I saw I have two more copies. I don't know why. Maybe you're they're just, not like, maybe they're other people's. I don't know.
You're just prepared. You have backup copies.
Yeah, good problem to have.
Yes.
I'm ready. If all streaming ends tomorrow, I've got it. You know, maybe yes. I need a VHS.
Yes. I love how people have, like, it's almost like you're, if movies were a security blanket or, like, emotional, you know, comfort movie, that everyone has, like, their go-tos. I own several on DVD as well, just in case, because you never know.
Oh my gosh. You guys are, like, really my people. I love it so much. It's amazing. Yes, yeah, for sure. And I feel like something that I got to learn that I maybe sadly never even crossed my mind was the way that I feel about these movies and the way that you guys feel about certain movies. So that for some people is what Knives Out was. And especially in the pandemic, like, I still get messages, which is like blows my mind, like a lot still, guys. It's nuts. It's a long time since it came out. It's amazing. Yes. I'm very, very lucky, but I didn't even think about it. And I feel like that's really changed so much for me, is hearing from people saying they were having the worst week and then they watched this on like Amazon Prime, or they caught it on something, or they rented it on whatever, and they love it so much and they watch it 3 times in a weekend, and they just can't believe, you know, like, they can't believe I'm writing them back. Mm-hmm. Right. Or yeah. They can't believe, you know, like the comfort viewing that we might get from rom-coms, a lot of other people get from different types of films. And so the Agatha Christie group out there, you know, or the Clue group out there, like, they get something from watching this movie, and I get to be part of that gift. And for me, that's really shifted how I see my whole career and how I see being an actor in general, and knowing that I can give this kind of comfort to other people by doing something that I love so much, like, takes things to a different level for me. It's almost like it makes me want to cry when I talk about it or when I think about it. It's just so, like, incredible. It's like the most incredible gift. And I don't think that I realized that at all, unfortunately, until last year. And it's really neat to be on the other side of those feelings and those messages, and knowing you're creating that for other people. It's really cool.
That's such an amazing, like, perspective to have, you know, on that side of that. 'Cause I'm sure a lot of people get into acting for not that reason. So that's very cool to hear that you have such a, you know, like, holistic emotional view of what that connection means. And I'm sure that comes through too in the projects you do and things like that, and probably speaks volumes also to people in the industry. So that's awesome.
Yeah, absolutely.
Also, I have to say, I'm a huge, I love Knives Out. I love it.
Oh, you do?
It's so good. Yes. It's so really good.
Oh, cool. That's awesome. That's so great to hear.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And we're going to get to a couple of questions we have about it too.
Yes.
Oh, that's neat. Oh my gosh. I love that neither of you mentioned that this whole time. Like, like, keeping it secret. So good.
Oh, we can't not talk about it. It's awesome.
Yes. Yeah.
No, of course. Of course.
But before we get to that, do you have, I'm sure you do, but what are your other favorite Sandra Bullock movies? What are your other top movies?
So, Miss Congeniality, both 1 and 2, which I know is a little, you know.
Interesting perspective.
I listened to your whole episode on both of them, and I found myself nodding along a lot. Yes. And shaking my head sometimes. Yeah, I actually really love both of them, even though the second one's, you know, could take it or leave it. I still, like, love it so much, and I get nervous at the pirate ship every time. I really like 2 Weeks Notice a lot. Oh,
so good.
And then The Blind Side is, it's like a comfort movie for a different time. Mm. Like, when I'm not needing something like this, I don't know, The Blind Side, I feel like she's just such a different character, and the story is so important and amazing. So yeah, those are my, and I kind of like The Net too. I'm not going to lie. It's like, I don't watch it a lot.
We were pleasantly surprised by that movie.
Yeah. Yeah. Totally agree.
Yeah. Yeah, those are my faves.
Okay, and also just thought of this question. Do you have a favorite co-star of Sandra Bullock's, like, romantic co-star? Who do you think is her best? And I don't have one single answer to this question, so it's okay if you don't either.
That's a really tricky question. I think I would automatically go to this movie and say Bill Pullman. is like definitely, I would say probably, but that's because I have such a bias for this movie. It's not necessarily because their chemistry is off the charts, you know?
That's okay. We're okay with biases here.
We are.
Yeah. And you know who else comes to mind, even though it's not a man or a romantic plotline, is the best friend in Miss Congeniality. Like, that's like a whole love story.
Yeah.
In and of itself, you know?
So true.
Yeah. I love it. That's great.
I think so. Maybe Hugh. I don't know.
Yeah.
We love Hugh. It's tough. We love Ryan Reynolds. We love Keanu. Only in Speedboat, not The Lake House.
Yes.
I'm okay to never see The Lake House again. It's okay.
Same.
It's fine. I don't like that movie.
Same page. We got some flack on Instagram for that one.
We did.
There's people that love that movie.
There's a pocket of people who love The Lake House, and more, you know, to each their own. I'm glad some people love it.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Good for them.
Yeah. So another question for you, and you kind of mentioned this in one of our messages on Instagram. If you could be in a movie with Sandra Bullock, do you know, like, what type of movie would it be? What type of role would you have in comparison with her? What would be your dream?
Totally. I'm literally already working on it. I know the movie that I want to do with her. So I would really like to play her younger sister. I don't know how we would read on screen in terms of ages, but I think siblings can be whatever. So it doesn't actually, you know, matter. And in an ideal world, it's three sisters and the third one. And my casting would be Katherine Hahn.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Love her.
Yes.
Or, you know, someone in the same vein. But yeah, those are my Sandra Bullock, Katherine Hahn. And I would love to play their younger sister who is just coming back to the States after living abroad for a long time. And like, not to give away too much, but the idea that they're very polar opposite. And she's kind of a mix. And it's about figuring out, you know, kind of really a lot of like this movie, like what does family really mean? Where do you really belong? And I think there'd be something else happening simultaneously. It's like there's a whole other like plot twist. Ooh. But, you know,
I'm sure it's a
$1 million idea. So we don't want to say it all. And people.
Oh,
will...
yeah. You can't give it all away.
Of course. Yeah.
No.
Just
yeah,
a that's teaser. Right.
So, like, what kind of genre? Would it be more, like, drama, comedy, a little bit of both?
I think this would be something that, like, maybe, like, a Melissa McCarthy would produce. So a bit of, like, I think a bit of, like, a definitely a comedy, not over-the-top zany comedy, but a comedy that's, like, grounded in the humor that comes with just being family.
Mm-hmm. Love it.
And I think maybe there has to be a love story somewhere in there, but I don't know. I don't know what character. And I think it would end up the same way, like that the sisters really in the end would probably be the real love story happening.
Oh, I love that. That's so good.
I would like to let it know, like I would play anything with Sandra anytime. And I probably would just sit in the room and be like, what's happening? You know, actually that's not true at all. That would not happen. I would end up being like, hi, let's talk. Let's be friends. What's going on? How can I learn from you? What can I absorb
let's
here?
Be best
like,
friends.
Yes. Yeah. For sure.
So I definitely we will keep like, our eyes peeled for that movie.
Yes. We're on board. We want to come to the premiere because we heard it here first. So, you know, I do feel like though you guys could play sisters. You both have this like beautiful brunette hair and great eyebrows. So that's got to be genetic, right? I mean, I can see it.
I agree. Yes. I think I think we do kind of look alike. And I think I kind of look like Katherine Hahn. And there's this kind of like, I don't know, brunette, big eyes thing going on. Something with the cheekbones. I don't know.
I'd buy it.
Yeah. Listen, I'm glad you guys are in. And this is something like I legitimately will try and pitch and get made.
That's
like
amazing.
At some point.
Oh,
I don't know when. Maybe by then I would be like, playing one of the older sisters. I don't know if these things take forever sometimes, but sometimes they don't. Sometimes things happen overnight and that's exciting. And I think it's kind of like, when I think about who are the people that I'm quote unquote like, right, in the industry as actresses. And when I am asked those questions sometimes in like meetings and which is, that's a whole other thing, but it kind of reminds me, or it actually really reminds me, like I can look at Sandra Bullock and say, this is a career I want, and this is someone whose sister I could play, and this is so important. And to me, it's like, this is why representation matters so much, because there are plenty of little girls who are watching, you know, these old rom-coms or watching a lot of current stuff, and they don't see themselves. And so I think, like, that it makes sense to me. Like, why do I love Sandra Bullock? Why was I drawn to her? Why am I drawn to Lauren Graham, right? Why Catherine Hahn? Like, I looked like them. And so as a young want to be actress, and then as a young actress, I was like, oh, okay. So, yeah. And I don't know if that's okay to say, so feel free.
Yeah, absolutely. We're totally on board with that. Yeah.
Are there other women in film that you really look up to? I mean, you just mentioned Catherine Hahn and Lauren Graham. Who else kind of is on your heart as a girl crush?
Judy Greer is like,
love her.
What kind of magic? I don't understand. And again, like, has a life, you know, and is not overwhelmed with things and kind of flies under the radar, which is crazy. Who else is it that that's probably like my go-tos. I think Toni Collette's really a brilliant actress.
Amazing, yeah.
I think there's a lot of great talent to look up to. So those are my kind of go-tos. There's a lot of movies I'll watch, and like a Judy Greer will pop up or someone pop up, and I'm like, why are they so good? How are they so good consistently?
We awesome. Love Judy Greer.
Yes.
Okay, so I'm sure our audience is dying to know. We've got a little bit of tidbits, but we would love to hear about your experience on Knives Out. So I don't know, whatever insider info you want to give us, what it was like, how you got the role. I saw on your website that they wrote the role for you, which I think is so cool. Tell us a little bit about it.
Yeah, so that is how I got the role. Ryan Johnson, he wrote the role specifically for me. And that's from years and years of him, you know, we've known each other a long time and he's known my work. And I was in and out for the Star Wars movie that he did. And which ultimately, obviously, I did not end up getting, but that was cool to be in all of those callbacks. And there really wasn't anything that fit me in the time that we've known each other where, you know, we started thinking, or he started thinking, let's work together, that really fit me. And then again, even in this movie, there really wasn't a right role. And so he said, you know, this is crap and I want to work together, so I'm just going to write you something. And it was essentially when the movie was already finished and he went back and added me, into being Frank's assistant. Yeah. So, I always preface that because it kind of sounds like, my friend like wrote me a movie. Like it's so like casual, and, it's not, it's years and years and years and years and years and years and years, to get to the point where you're just offered a major blockbuster movie. So that part was written for me, and so amazing. And it was also, you know, that meant I got to show up, and there's, you know, Ryan's one of my best friends. We're very close, and oh, there he was, you know. So it was like I knew some of the people through conversation with him, and that was really great. So yeah, so that's how I got the movie. We filmed at the end of 2018, and the scene that, like the major scene I got to be in, and the way that it worked was I got to work with the whole cast, essentially. Yes, it was awesome. And none of us went back to trailers or, you know, we all kind of just hung out in the basement of that giant mansion and played a lot of games. They taught me how to play the movie game. I had never played the movie game. And so, a circle of major movie stars taught me to play the movie game, and then we played it together a lot.
What is the movie game?
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, I don't know it.
So like someone names, thank you for not knowing it, first of all, because anyone else that's ever heard this story or, you know, they're like, oh, who doesn't know that game? So it's like a category, like say it's, you know, movies that have a man's name in the title or a color or, you know, it can be whatever. And then everyone has to say, like you go around in a circle and as soon as you can't think of something, you're out. And
so whoever
it's basically like, I watch a lot of movies. Here's my knowledge.
Right.
And that was a lot. Chris Evans really loves a game. And I think that's a way for him to maybe like, you know, it's, it's the whole group was involved. And so it got everyone in the same room and everyone sitting together. And he was really the mastermind behind all of the games. Yes, it's really very fun. And lots
Were you kind of starstruck being on set, or like, what was your, I don't know, like what was your thought process like?
Literally just hearing Chris Evans like tickled me. So I don't think I would do well in this situation, but I'm, I'm curious about the answer to this question.
Yes, meet Chris Evans. He's very, very sweet. And he's, they all were very inclusive. They didn't necessarily have to even talk to me or include me. Like I was there actually a few weeks because in between like my shoot days, I would go and hang out on set and like shadow Ryan or hang out with other like the other producers and just learn stuff. And I wasn't starstruck and I was simultaneously. And that I mean, I don't really get starstruck. I feel like I'm very lucky to have worked with a wild amount of famous people, even in theater. Early on, I would make a joke with my mom and like my family, like, oh, I only work with famous people. That's come to pass, you know? So, so I feel like I'm able to see people as people, which is awesome. And I don't feel like it's like I make any kind of big deal, but simultaneously I'm aware that I felt, nervous and a little out of place and unsure. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't want to overstep. You never know if people are going to be nice or not right off the bat. And so I did spend a lot of time kind of like looking down at my phone, but I wasn't doing anything on my phone. I was just like looking at it. And if you know me in real life, I turn off my phone. I leave it at home. I don't, it's not my thing. Like I want a landline and an answering machine and handwritten letters. Like, that is where I'm at. But I would have it in my hand a lot. And I will show you. So for, because you, the listeners can't hear, my phone case is a giant Winnie the Pooh. And I had this then. And because I was holding it so much, like the first or second day, Chris was like, hey, Carrie, like, is that Winnie the Pooh? What? And I now know it's because he's a huge Disney nerd. And I didn't know that then. But
That's awesome.
Yeah. So I was definitely, I can look back now and think, oh, I was nervous or I didn't make the most of the opportunity fully. And I think there was a large part where I think like I initially went into it being like, I have to tell all of them that Ryan's one of my best friends. And that's how I got this movie. And I almost feel like I downplayed myself a lot. But I also think like that's several years ago and you grow so much in like the season of life we're all in like rapidly every year. So I'm excited to get back on set and not downplay myself and not, you know, maybe look at my phone so much and recognize they're all there for the same reason I am and you know, cheering me on. But anyone I did talk to or anytime I would end up in, I wound up with Jamie Lee Curtis, Toni Collette, Frank Oz, and myself, just the four of us in a little room waiting. And Jamie Lee was telling some really cool stories and, you know, talking about other amazing talent. And I just had this moment where I was like, oh my God, like, what is my life? So,
I also imagine that.
Yeah. It's, and I think a lot of people, I think, also were able to be like, hey, like, you're brand new, you know? And like, you're also like very important to Ryan. And so we're going to give you a lot of attention and like talk to you and help you out. Ricky Lindholm, who played Michael Shannon's wife. Mm-hmm. Who I know from Gilmore Girls. I don't know what you guys might know her from. And I also, I will like pitch a lot of ideas, like people casting and stuff. And to Ryan, I mean, he asks, I don't just like, you know, say
right.
And at one point I realized, or he realized, I had essentially pitched the entire Gilmore Girls cast. But I got one. No, I did not pitch her, just to be clear, for legal reasons. But I was so glad she was there. But she was so, so kind and wonderful and let me like basically just be with her at all times. And I knew who I would sit with and I knew who I would sit with. So that was really, really nice. Noah as well.
Awesome.
Yeah, they were all great. They're wonderful.
That's great.
Well, we're rooting for you and we're really excited for you. And just thank you so much for joining us tonight. I don't know if there's anything else that you want to add about Knives Out or Sandra Bullock. But also before you go, tell us what you're up to now, if there's any projects, anything you want to plug, where people can find you or support you, anything like that.
Totally. Okay, so me, yes. I just did a narrative podcast, which is really fun to do. Yeah, it's really fun. I don't know when that's coming out, but I'll put it on my social. I have an offer for a movie that would shoot in October that I would say I'm like 98% that I'm going to do. I just haven't formally accepted. And that's a really relatable script and it's a fun part. So I think that'll be
cool. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. Yeah. And I dipped my toes into producing a la Sandra this past year. And I produced a feature called Dominoes. So that I'm not sure when or how that's coming out yet, but I know that they're working very hard on it. And I've been meeting with music producers to see about doing some of my own tracks as opposed to singing on other people's tracks.
Cool.
Yes. It's been really fun. I've also been doing these producer calls and industry calls primarily with women. And I feel very lucky that people want to give me the time of day to talk to and that they're willing to. And just getting on calls. Yeah, it's so neat. And learning about producing and learning about what they're working on and the idea of collaborating. And that's been a really fun thing. Again, from that perspective shift to say, like, I'm not in a bad place or a hard season, like, let me just keep moving forward, even if it's not like what I thought it was going to look like. Sure. Or what it was like in LA. So yeah, that's what I'm up to. I'm always on Instagram. I do a lot of silly stories and I've just joined TikTok, which I don't know how to feel about.
We're in the same place.
Yeah. I also know there's great things that can come from it, and it's nice to entertain people. So
yeah,
I do a lot of like silly songs, like parody songs. I just did some Hallmark parody videos that a lot of people shared. That was neat.
Love that.
Yeah, and I do some with my dog.
Oh, I love that too. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Can you tell everyone your handles for Instagram and TikTok?
Yeah, so it's Carrie, K-E-R-R-Y, Francis with an E, official. Carrie Francis Official on Instagram and TikTok.
Amazing.
Awesome. And we'll put that in the show notes too. So everyone can follow you, and we'll be tagging you on our Instagram. Go follow her. She has great content.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you guys so much for having me again. This was such a delight. You're both such a delight and a joy. And it's nice. This is how I feel about your podcast in general. It's like you're hanging out with your friends and you're chatting about movies that you really like, and because you guys are friends in real life, you talk to each other the way friends talk to each other. And so it's just so enjoyable and nice to listen to. So it's exciting to be a part of.
Thank you. That means a lot. And we're so excited to have you on and girl crush over Sandy with you.
Yes. Yeah, me too. Thank you again so much.
Thank you. Bye.
All right, to review our final thoughts and final scores for While You Were Sleeping, we gave this plot a 9.25 out of 10, Sandra Bullock's character Lucy an 8 out of 10, Sandra Bullock's acting an 8.5 out of 10, a Boss Babe score of 1.5 out of 2, and a Would You Watch Again score of 5 out of 5 for a total score of 32.25, which means that While You Were Sleeping is ranked number 8 out of 48 Sandra Bullock movies.
Ah, it's so good.
Definitely a top 10 for
sure. Oh yeah. We have to say this is barely behind Speed. So that gives you some idea.
Mm-hmm.
Our top 10 is starting to fill out here.
It is. And I think we've said before, but we took the top 10 very seriously. We reviewed our notes and our scores very closely. So we stand behind these rankings.
Absolutely.
Wholeheartedly.
Love it. And this is such a good one. It totally deserves to be up there.
It does.
As always, thanks for listening to the Girl Crush Podcast. We also want to give a huge thanks to Carrie Francis again for joining us for this episode. We really enjoyed speaking with her. And as a reminder, you can follow her on Instagram at Carrie Francis Official. We'll have it in the show notes, but just so you know the spelling too, that's K-E-R-R-Y-F-R-A-N-C-E-S Official. So please go follow her. She has awesome content. She's going to be huge. We can feel it.
Yes, we know it in our bones. Listen, We have watched a lot of movies of women end to end, and we know Carrie is destined for greatness, so definitely go follow her.
Yes, absolutely. And you know we love supporting women in the film industry, so please go follow her and let us know your thoughts on today's movie as well. You can find us on Instagram at girlcrush_pod, or you can email us at podcastgirlcrush@gmail.com, or check out our website, girlcrushpodcast.com. And tune in next time when we'll be talking about 28 Days.
Bye! Bye.